Let's go.
Are you ready to level up your journey? Welcome to Get On Top, where we dive deep into the riveting tales of self-made entrepreneurs and corporate titans who have scaled the summit of success. We'll uncover the secrets behind their huge rise. Get ready for a roller coaster of insights, inspiration, and a roadmap to elevate both your mindset and your life. This is Get On Top with Morgan Brown. Today's guest is someone I've known through different seasons of his life, and that's always special. Because when you've seen someone early and then you watch them evolve, build, stretch, and step into leadership, it hits different. Jordy Flanagan is the vice president and partner of Blend Projects, a BC-based company redefining what modern prefab and sustainable building can look like. Blend Projects is a powerhouse, crossing borders into the United States and staying true to their Canadian roots, building in locations like Tofino, Salt Spring, and Victoria. But this isn't prefab the way people imagine it. It's thoughtful. It's high performance. It's controlled. It's custom. And most importantly, it's human. Jordy has been there from the early days, being his first client at Blend's Projects, to now becoming the executive leader, helping shape Blend's strategic direction and setting a new standard of how homes can be built and how customers can be treated. Today, we're talking about what home really means, fatherhood, leadership, trust as a competitive advantage, resilience under pressure, and how you can create your own luck. This is one about evolution, personally and professionally. Please welcome to Get On Top, Jordy Flanagan. Hello, Jordy. Thank you for being on Get On Top. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Morgan. So
I'm
happy to be
so
here.
So excited to interview you. We've known each other for years. I have watched you just, I think, number one, find who you were, which is becoming more and more pure as years have gone on, but also open up the different paths for other people to kind of see the new next possibilities of their own lives. So I'm so excited to jump right in. In good fashion, Get On Top is all about just kind of knowing where you were and where you came from. So maybe you can tell everybody, I'm sure listeners want to know who you are and where you came from.
Yeah.
Where you came from.
Super stoked to be here. Yeah, where do you start there? Like, I think my trajectory for career and stuff has been super interesting. No post-secondary school, always just sort of trusted my gut with, you know, adventure and traveling and more following those sorts of experiences versus typically what people would do. And I feel like a lot of that just being in those unknown situations and just going with it has led me to some incredible opportunities. Going back in terms of like where life started, you know, grew up in Tawasin, lost my dad when I was very young, which I think came with a lot of, you know, heartache and challenges, but made this incredible relationship with my mom who distilled in me this, like, raising two boys, I've got a brother, this strength and this, like, you don't give up and you're going to face challenges, but how do you overcome them and not showing this really vulnerability and just sticking to the mission. And I think I took a lot of just
resilience.
That from her. Resilience. Yeah, really.
Definitely resilience.
You know, not taking no from an answer sometimes. And also just being like, life is tough. Life isn't fair, but there's always a reason for things. And I've always believed that. And a lot of times people would say, you're lucky, or this is just things happen to you. But I think there's just a lot of this is like, you got to trust it. And really, when things come to you, like, where do you go with that? And I've always just, if something presents itself, there's a reason for it.
The universe is like working for you instead of the other way around.
Yeah, like it's presenting you opportunities. And I think a lot of people, it's exciting when that comes up. It can be scary. It can be like, it's a hard conversation you need to have. It's, is there a new work opportunity? Is there a new life switch? And is it like, what do you do on that? And I feel like I've always just loved this idea of calculated risks and just being like, why not? Let's see where this goes. And that's kind of what brought me into where I'm at now. And it's something I continue to open myself up to. And my wife and I continue to find things that present themselves. They're like, what's the reason for this? Like, what's happening
like
here?
You've always just kind of driven with your heart that way. You know, like you obviously have gone through, let's talk a little bit about all the careers that you've had along the way, right?
Yes.
I think people realize all of your experiences have led you to where you are now to make you the expert in what you're doing. tell the audience, and I'm sure everyone is interested, is what was all the different paths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, from no post-secondary school, that kind of just led me to this like straight out of high school kid that wanted to go surf and travel the world. So it was doing the landscaping jobs, the construction jobs, the painting jobs.
The service jobs, just to make
enough money to be like, I can buy a ticket to go somewhere. So I chased that dream with buddies for, you know, 5 years of going somewhere, surfing, living that cool life, being in these unique situations when you're young and you're traveling with older people. And I feel like there's so much that comes out of that that has led me to the person I am now. But I would come back, make some money and do something else. And got to a point until my mom was like, okay, enough of you just like traveling and thinking you still got a bed here. Like you kind of have to get your shit together. But there was never this like pressure of like, you got to go to school. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like, what do you want to do? So I think because I love relationships and speaking, and I've always had this sort of sales, just talking. I just enjoy conversation. That kind of led me into like sales and marketing. And I worked in the sports industry for a while, being a sales rep, which was like great exposure to having accounts and running businesses and traveling.
Huge.
And then that led me to working with Yellow Pages, which is a random, who uses phone book, but I didn't know, but there I am selling them. And that was just like a great shift from going from a more personable type of
Yellow
experience.
Yellow Pages, everybody, is a throwback. Phone book.
Oh, yeah. Bring it up.
Just so everyone knows.
That led me to that, which was a great transition into, again, sales, but like a lot of rejection and a lot of just like a closing mentality. You get 20 minutes with a service job to try to say you need to be in this phone book. Here are the reasons why. So just a great like sales focus role. Mm-hmm. I started to lose just like excitement around that industry. And so I left and I ended up in doing marketing advertising.
That's where we kind of know you through that.
Yeah. And then that led me to starting my own marketing company, which I did for about 6 years and still kind of have it going with some clients as necessary. Mm-hmm. And that all just came from connections from all of those previous experiences that because of those conversations, those relationships, when I said, hey, I'm doing my own thing, here's what we're doing. People are kind of like,
We want to work with you because we like you.
It's the we power like of the you. Like. It's like you can trust you. So they're like, this is great. Like, how do we support you and what do we do? So it's always been a bit of a sales and marketing background and I've always really enjoyed it. My role in all of those have always been like personable business development relationships.
I feel like you have had so much expertise in that service relationship side of things. Do you feel like you are fulfilling that purpose? Like, do you know that? Or did you know your purpose from early on? Or did you just kind of go, as you said, as the waves have taken you?
I think, again, like my mom is a very outgoing, you know, can control a room, leader in the conversation. And I think I got a lot of that from her of just like not being scared to be put in a room for people you don't know, just creating conversation. Because I think I'm just very curious as well. I think everyone's got a story to tell and I love just hearing that. So I think I always knew maybe I was going to be in that type of position in that type of career where there's going to be some sort of conversation and relationship aspect. Selling, I think we all were always selling something and that just became natural to me. And I think it's when you can do it in a way that you're not selling someone on something necessarily, you're just building this relationship and it just feels natural. They trust you. That's what I really love about sort of the line of work that I've been in and where it's taken me to now to work with Blend Project, which is...
I know, Blend. We got to get into Blend.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an incredible story because I think a lot of people are always searching for their next opportunity and they're chasing it. But it kind of, in a weird way, fell in your lap because you walked into something that you needed as a customer. And maybe what you can explain to me how that came about for you and your family.
Yeah. So first of all, Blend Projects is that we design and build prefab homes. Mm-hmm. And when my family and I moved to Salt Spring Island about 5.5 years ago, we sort of wanted to escape and we were having our daughters and we wanted to be around nature and have this like incredible
wholesome space for our family.
And my mom was living there. So of course, having the support with grandparents is incredible. So that was a big reason as well to go. But we were looking for houses and we couldn't find any homes that kind of checked the boxes. It was our first time buying a house. And on Salt Spring, you're dealing with wells and septics. And so there's a lot of other potential, you know, things that could come with big costs. And that's what we were seeing. And then we said, what about land? Like, let's look for land. And my wife, Jess, was like, I think we could build. And I was like, I don't know if there's going to be a way to do that. Like, this is going to be difficult.
And costly.
Exactly. That's
which is a big thing.
Yeah. We're sort of always being dreamers. Like, we think we can do this, but first time doing it, first time buying a house or entering into it, are we going to be able to build our first home? Like, sounds too good to be true. So we found this piece of property and we had a vision for it. I think anyone who is finding land to build, you have to have a vision. A lot of people, I think, are just like, what are you going to do with it? Especially the property we found. Mm-hmm. Very steep driveway, but we had a vision to open it up, see the ocean, like big views. And we somehow got introduced through Blend, through someone that was working on my mom's property and said, hey, check out this company. And when we engaged, Blend was really new. They were just doing a bunch of R&D and had just sort of started this company. And from the very beginning, I connected with the founder and now a good friend, Simon File, who's a CEO and founder of Blend. And they were just trying to innovate and disrupt and be different and simplify and be efficient. And of course, yet they had this incredible design. So it grabbed us with the design, but then we saw, got to experience of all these other things of designing and building a house of like, this is a pretty easy process versus you hear the stories of construction and the stress.
The nightmares.
The nightmares and the relationship is sour by the end of it.
Oh,
and the budget
gosh, the
is
worst.
Crazy and the timelines. And I was like, this is, yeah, there was challenges, but like the outcome, I ended up leaving my business to be like, I want to be a part of this.
Oh,
and that's
wow, yes.
Very strange, I think,
and
when
profound.
People hear about it.
It's quite profound,
it
right?
Is.
Because you can't, when are you ever so excited about something so much that you want to leap towards it?
That's exactly it. And
you know?
It was one of those moments, like I said earlier, that I was like, something's telling me here that I need to present myself to this company and say, mm-hmm. I want to be a part of this for these reasons. I think I can bring opportunity on Salt Spring in general. And I just, mm-hmm. I'm going through the process. I think there's a lot, there's a unique story to tell when I start working with people and I say, I'm also a client, but now I'm also working with a company. Like,
wow.
It's a great story to tell. So immediately it was so clear that I was like, I need to work with this business. So I kind of stopped my company and jumped in head first. And now that's, you know, about 4 years ago and started as kind of sales and marketing. And now I'm the VP and the partner with the company. And I keep saying we're just kind of getting started. So
you just keep on going.
Keep on going. Yeah.
I mean, I think for a lot of people, the preconception of prefab is always like, oh, it's just boxed up and it's going to be put up mm-hmm. very quickly. And it's not going to be as high quality.
Yeah.
That's the prefab like
yes.
perception.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about like, what are people missing?
Yeah, great question. That's still like, I feel a big part of my position is still just educating people mm-hmm. on it, right? There is this assumption that prefab is cheaper and it should be a lot faster than it is. And there are some mm-hmm. companies that are more modular, which are sort of boxed up structures and that comes with limitations. But I think the big difference for us is the customization aspect that we can provide for the client. So
right.
you're getting a pre-engineered and pre-designed system, which I think for a lot of people, if you want to build, you go to an architect and they're kind of like, what do you want to build? And that on its own is like, well, we don't really know. And there's a whole process and time and cost of just like trying to get to that point of like, this is our house. Where for us, we have these pre-selected models that are very functional and practical and good flow and beautifully designed.
You can visit them.
Yeah, that you can
which
change
is,
everything.
You change everything.
So you can come and say, this is a great size of house for our family, but could we change this? And could we make this room? And can we add this deck? And all of that can be done. So it's very unique for us is that we can still keep the quality and the architectural element that a lot of people are looking for as a custom home, mm-hmm. but we can have it pre-engineered, pre-designed, and definitely from a cost perspective, more controlled. A lot of businesses, you can't customize things. You're stuck to like option A, option B, and you know maybe it would be cheaper and it might be a little bit faster, but we always bridge that gap of like, I kind of say we're a custom home builder. We're just building smarter and we're building more efficiently and
right.
we have better processes. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to simplify that whole design process and also all the way going through just immediately when you start working with us because life is busy.
It's busy.
Like, how can we just simplify things for people?
When did you kind of realize like Blend wasn't just building homes? Like, I feel like that's a huge question. It's like building in a new model.
Mm.
When did you realize that like you wanted to be a part of that?
Being in the first ever built house and still just like loving it to bits of just being like, this is incredible. And the design has only changed so much. And we've only got better as a company because we've learned things. I was kind of the guinea pig, right? Like my house mm-hmm. is kind of the guinea pig. Like,
what's a guinea pig?
Well, just like the tester,
yes.
right? Like how does this, it all worked and everything is going good and which is great. But I think it was more like this disrupting. I love always trying to like take a different path. And what Simon was doing is an industry that hasn't changed a lot in construction. And mm-hmm. maybe there's reasons for it, but like being like, we can do it different. We can do it smarter. We can do it simpler. But using the word simple in a great way, not mm-hmm. just like, oh, it's a simple design. Like let's be very modern and clean and elegant still. And just if people say this is the only direction, like, well, no, it's not. There's always another way. So that was like a big, like, I want to be part of something that's moment. Challenging an industry to say, let's do it differently. And I feel like we're trying to create a brand versus a company. And I think that's a big, there's lots of construction companies, but not a lot of construction brands. And like a brand where you would be stoked just to buy a piece of their merchandise, even if you don't have a house, but you're like, that's a really cool brand.
It's cool.
What they stand for, their values, how they present themselves, you know, what they're doing. Like my background in branding, it's just like, that's where I also saw an opportunity. It's like, let's just do something different with this.
That's what I'm really interested in is you've had so much experience in marketing and branding. I mean, I've worked with you personally. And what do you go about and how do you start working with someone like Blend or any other brand that you're working with in your other company? And you say, let's try and get this to be something different. Like, what's the first thing that as a brand that maybe is wanting to stand out a bit? Mm. What's the things that are going through your mind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd say like even with Blend, like that was a big part of my role too, was like helping build
the brand,
the foundation, the brand, and what do we stand for? So I think going through those exercises of like, what are our big values? Mm-hmm. What are our core values? You know what I mean? Which is something you guys have always just from the very beginning stuck to, which again, speaks to the company and the success. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of companies just don't really give it that much attention that it needs to and continue to revisit that. Like you can always put facelifts of the visual stuff and the logos and the websites and things, but like bringing it always back to the culture. So we're putting a lot of effort into just like the culture of our company, instilling in this like people that are just excited to work for the business and, you know, not necessarily just creating this team where it's just like people are clocking in and clocking out. Like we've really leaned out. So
how do you do that? How do you make the culture so rich?
I think, again, it's like, is there a bit of a luck of the people you attract potentially? I think it's also just being so passionate and being knowing exactly what you're trying to do. I think you'll find those people that after that first interaction, they're like, I want to be a part of that. And exactly how I ended up having that with Simon and Blend was just like running my own company. Things are going great. Living on Salt Spring, very flexible.
Yeah.
This is awesome to being like pivot, shift. I'm going to now jump in with this company and pause everything, have those conversations with clients, sort of pausing some work for a reason and doing this because something felt right. And I think also just like I saw the opportunity of what we could do with this company.
Yeah. Culture is like, it is one of those things that I believe is like such a self-belief. Like you like the belief from the owners, the leadership is probably like the first kind of foundation front to the culture. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what you're saying. It's like you had such a belief in it that people kind of feel that from you. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's like sparkle dust, but
for sure,
kind of is.
Sprinkling it on there.
Sprinkling it on there.
And then it comes down to that too when you're speaking with the clients. Like it's really like, I love that opportunity that I'm in to like, this is a huge moment for people. They're building a home. This is their dream. They've chosen to build on the Sunshine Coast. And they're like, we found you and we love what you're doing. And it's like,
gosh,
it's such a place to really care for that and be like very excited for it. And that's what I try to bring in those first conversations is like, this is your moment and we're just here to support it. And when you look at the construction industry in general, that relationship, a lot of times from you hear, is just like, they don't like their builder.
I know, it's worse.
Costs are high and it was over the timeline and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, how can we be more transparent and how can we just take less away from the client for making those decisions and we can take it on? Because we've thought about all that stuff before. So you can be as involved as you would like, or you can also just sort of sit back and know that you're trusted and the builder is going to take it.
Jordy, for people that don't know what prefab is, how, like, is it a faster process than building from the ground up custom, I guess, or like, is it a faster process or is it similar?
Like, I think in certain companies will for sure be faster. Like, you know, if say it's a year and a half to build from start to ground custom. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think our goal is between 8 to 10 months to have you in a completed house.
That's pretty good.
There's a lot of variables still, which you'll know, of course, with construction, with site works and permits and financing and these sorts of things that once we get clear on them and we're aligned on that, we can sort of present options to be like, if speed isn't the number one goal, here's some suggestions we have of how we can hit that. Modular construction is going to be a lot faster because they're just sending boxes and you're limited to what you can design, but they're pretty much already pre-built and they're kind of not plugging them in, but setting them up for a month and your house is ready to go. So the clients that we're working with are more like architecturally, they want to build a beautiful home.
Yeah.
From a cost perspective, I'd still say we're competitive with custom construction, but we're not like that much cheaper. Like, because you are designing and building a custom home. We're just like, that process is going to be a lot easier on
and
you.
And shorter.
Shorter. Also, we're not going through all this whole design phase because you're working off of already a sort of pre-selected structure that you can fully customize. So all that time and energy that would go and money that would go into you to being like, I don't even know what I want to build. It's like, well, let's use this rancher as a foundational starting point and we can add things as necessary. So now we've just bypassed this huge perspective or this huge portion of building. So
at Oakland Realty, real estate is personal. It's your first home, your next chapter, your biggest decision, and your biggest opportunity. That's why we lead with people first. Trusted advisors, deep local knowledge, and a commitment to doing things right every time. Whether you're buying, selling, or simply planning your future, our agents are here to guide you with clarity, confidence, and care. Because a home isn't just a place you live, it's where life happens. Oakland Realty, inspiring positive change. One person, one home, and one community at a time. And I'm sure it's good because, like, tell everybody about kind of where Blend is. Like, you talk a lot about Salt Spring. Where are they taking up projects now? Like, what's their mission for the next 5 years?
Yeah, so I'd say our mission now, like, we've expanded into the U.S., which is extremely exciting.
Super exciting.
So we're just down in Austin, Texas. We're down in California. We're doing a great collaboration with an architect out of San Francisco called Feldman Architecture, where we've created a passive house specific to the rebuilding Altadena. So all the families impacted by the big fires in the Palisades in Altadena, we've created a product that's faster, more cost controlled, fire resilient, that checks all those boxes that now we can hopefully go offer to the people in that area that were impacted. And
Brilliant.
So yeah, we've seen a lot of interest now through the US, which is kind of cool. And it's
very cool.
We've had to adjust our whole business from before we had our own manufacturing and we'd be shipping from our facility. But now with who knows what's going on with tariffs and these sorts of things, that we've kind of had to pivot. And we sort of shut that down about a year ago to say, if US is a new market, we need to assume that, you know, someone's not going to pay 30% to get the product. So now we just essentially outsource the components for our system in the US.
Wonderful.
So we can design it in Canada, we can sort of represent it and work with you, but then we can find the components closer to your location in LA or Texas, wherever you are, and sort of ship everything there. And then we work with a local builder to that area. We enroll with them and they take on the assembly. So it's still a very...
The quality is still where it should be.
For sure.
Giving it exactly that Blend brand and standard that you need.
Yes, exactly.
But you're able to outsource it to different locations
in
the world.
And it's still very hands-off for the client.
Yeah, which is still, the whole point of this,
I think. Like, just to have one dedicated project manager who sees it from start to finish.
Yeah.
So that's, I'd say 5 years is like expanding into the US or continuing to do it. We're doing a lot of multi-unit developments in Victoria, trying to push some boundaries with BC Housing and just trying to, I guess, continue to educate people about what our system is. It's very unique in the sense of this pre-engineered sort of grid structure that we're building that a lot of architects are showing a lot of interest in. So that's a whole new...
It's kind of a movement and a wave from a lot of the homeowners, because originally they would go and outsource. It takes a lot of time to kind of do that, where you can start, you can actually just bring it to the city. These are all engineered already, kind of already figured out.
Exactly.
And it's easier for people to conceptualize, I think, on the city side.
For sure.
Than it is, than you sending a drafter, or making those additions, making those changes.
Yeah.
It's already done.
It's already done. And like, you know, if you're the new, I was in the first product in Salt Spring. So essentially you're kind of going through working in a new municipality. Yeah. They might be like, what is this system? This is different. So as we're expanding, we're knowing that there might be some further conversations. Cause again, I'm continuing to have conversations with people who don't really, they're interested about prefab, but yet I think how they still assume it's cheaper. They still assume it can be done within 4 months and it's these sorts of things. So even when we enter into new markets, we're knowing there's going to be more conversations to be had. Mm-hmm. But once we kind of let people know, and even municipalities and states, about our system and it's pre-engineered, they're kind of like, okay, we get this. This is smart.
We get
Why aren't we doing more of this?
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything completely different than what other people are doing. It's just... other than our sort of our structural system, that's sort of what's really unique to Blend is what we've created.
And the brand is... So it's really taking off and I guess what's the big mission other than kind of disrupting? Like, we talked a little bit about that. You talk so much about, okay, there's so much that to go over, but you talk so much about just that trust that you have with prefab. What are some notes that people can take if they're interested in it? I think that's a big part of it. They're going to be interested in, hey, maybe I should do a prefab on Main Island, or we should do it on Gossip Island. Like, I want to
build. Where's Gossip?
Oh, don't even get me started, Jordan. This
we'll
is
put
the
a
thing.
Blind house there for sure.
Don't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
But like, what can they do to start that motion? Is it to just go onto your website, do those kind of discoveries?
Yeah. Like, I think just, again, I love to have conversations and more just being a resource for people. So even if, you know, I have lots of conversations with people who maybe they don't even have land yet, but they're like just interested in like, you know, first time doing this. We love prefab. A lot of people come to us for the design. I think the number one thing, they see an ad or they see our brand. They're like, wow, like, you know, again, we have these big, beautiful beams. Everyone wants to have that big vaulted ceiling. So we grab people's attention right away from that. And then once they learn more about like the speed, the efficiency, the sustainability, the less site disturbance, like we're not on site all the time. You know, we're coming in blitzes to kind of get things done. So that's a huge value for people if they're building in certain areas that it's very treed or there's certain things that they're like, we don't want to just clear this all out. We love those types of projects where it's like, how can we get creative with working around these elements that you love about your property? Mm-hmm. So there's so many other values, I think, to prefab in our system once we can have those conversations and educate them on like how else,
what it is,
what else we do.
Yeah.
But like booking a call with myself to sort of say, here's our situation. That's what I love to do. You know, I'm on those calls all day long with discovery calls of like,
how fun is that?
It's the best. Like, you know, I hope they always end very positive and people gain something from it, but you're learning more about like, my family's looking at making this big move from the city to Gossip Island. And they're like, we want to build this family place. And it's like,
don't take that out. I don't want anyone knowing where the island is.
Remove it. But you know, 30 minutes, I'll just be learning about someone's family. And I'm like, oh, we haven't even talked about blend. And then they're like, oh, but this feels great. What's the next step? And again, they're just great conversations to have. And we're...
You love that conversation, but there is that hound dog mentality,
always,
which we talk about.
Yes.
You know, I think, tell everybody what hound dog mentality is. If people don't know what it is.
Again,
it's an instinct, actually.
It is an instinct. And I think everyone has... everyone has this like, you know, you have to follow up. Like, you know, you send proposals, you send things, you have to follow up. And maybe people have reminders set up in their own systems. And I think the decisions and actions I take, it's like, if it feels right, I'm like, I'm going to take the action. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people wouldn't do it. They're like, oh, it's being too soon or you can't do it. But those sorts of hound dog of just staying on top of things when it feels good has led me to some success and opportunity. So I'm a big believer in it. Some, maybe it's not how some people will do it. They're like, why would you do that? You're going to frustrate them. But it's the hound dog. It's just kind of knocking on the door.
I like a hound dog better than like what I say is like tiger mentality.
Yes.
Because hound dog sounds a little nicer than my tiger mentality.
Yes.
So I think hound dog is like, you know, I'm just here to help.
I'm just barking at the door. But in a very polite, controlled way.
Yeah, and one day I might have to really howl.
Yes.
If you don't.
Exactly. And I think it's how you present it. Like it's not.
It's chasing that opportunity,
right? Yeah, I'm not like, hey, what's going on? Why haven't you committed? Or like, but there's also a point in like just checking in. Hey, how are things going? I'm still here if you need any support. Like, how was your weekend? My weekend was great. Like opening up to people, I think is a big thing.
Very good.
And also I've found just like ask the questions. I think now in work, we don't ask the questions that we're all thinking and you end up leaving this phone call being like, oh, I should have said that. Like, does Morgan still want to move forward with the house? Like, I don't know. And now we're going back and forth versus being like, you know, what's getting you in the way from moving forward? Or is there any roadblocks you're seeing? Or what is your budget for the project? Like ask those things so then we can be very efficient with our time knowing we're both busy. And then the people will leave that call being like, wow, I just kind of told him our budget, but that we feel very safe with it. And now they can design something within that budget versus again, you see in construction that we go through this process. It ends up at this budget that you're like, that's not what we want to do.
I think most people make assumptions. That's my big thing. I'm like, why are you making an assumption? You have no idea.
No idea.
You have no idea what's on that or on the other side of the door.
Exactly.
Just stop there and ask that question, which is so true. So hound dog mentality, ask those questions. What are the things that also have propelled you into this kind of mentality that, and honestly, I see you're living like a super purpose in my, coming from my side. I'm like, wow, he really is in his groove and he's reached this incredible summit and he's on this incredible journey because he's believed in himself. I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. What other tips would you say that has gotten you to that, to elevate?
Yeah. First of all, I guess, you know, you just saying, seeing where I'm at and stuff like, I feel so grateful for what we've created. And I think a lot of that is just like from the calculated risks and why did we make this big move and why did I start my own company? And trust in your gut is a huge thing always.
This is great.
I've always just being all about that.
How do you trust your gut?
Yeah, like I kind of always go through this, like think it, feel it, do it.
Yeah.
The thing I've always went through, and it's kind of a, I guess you could say, a mantra I've mm-hmm. stuck with me 10 years ago from a surfing movie, and now I'm bringing it to my kids a lot.
Wow.
To Stevie, and saying think it, feel it, do it. And I think that is a big part as well, is like as these opportunities come to you, like think about it, like mm-hmm. you know, what does this next move do? Is this the right thing? Like go through all of those things in your head and then really feel it. Like what's the positive outcome that can come from? What is the negative outcome? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. look at both options. And then from there, I feel like you're very clear on like, okay, yeah, I just now have to do it. So I have to take that next step. I have to apply for that. I have to send this proposal. I have to hound dog this guy up. I have to have that hard conversation.
I always have that instinct of like, oh, someone will pop in my mind. And if I don't jump on that, I'm like an idiot. So I just immediately call them. Like, I don't know why I had to send that to you, but I have to.
I have no idea. With you. It's probably what led me to doing this too. Like I just sometimes yeah. I'm always like, why does that happen? Like, why did I see that? Or why all of a sudden does that person pop in my head? Or why do I now I want to reach out to them on LinkedIn for some reason? And there's something there always. And that's like, I think you just have
to trust the instinct. And
yeah.
Okay. Also, I mean, one thing we didn't bring up, which is incredible, which is your fatherhood. You are such a good dad.
Thank you.
Watch him on Instagram. Mm. And a great husband too, which is one thing I got to watch over the years. You build this beautiful family. And tell me a little bit about how that's changed you and your perspective of business.
Yeah. I would say again, like starting my own company, leaving marketing and advertising and just being like, I want to be on my own was really like, we're going to have my first daughter. And I was like, I want to be there for those moments. And it's those moments, as you know, they go so fast and people always say it goes by so quick, but I just wanted to be there to not miss them. And and I think it's always been that balance of like, you still need to hustle and work and we both are chasing success and you want to show that to your kids, but also I want to be there and be present. And to be honest, I still balance that. I think it's a hard thing. I try to set boundaries and this is the time I'm good. Phones away. And I'm with the kids, but then it's like, oh, something popped up.
A hound dog comes
back in. It's the hound dog. And I'm like, I got to get to it. But at least I know I'm mindful of it, right? So that I can like work on it. But yeah, fatherhood is the most incredible thing. Of course, I was just saying when we first got here about raising girls, so you got two girls. It's like the best job in the world, as people always say. But in today's world, knowing that I'm raising women is amazing. And
where you're doing it.
Yes. And where we're doing it.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, where we are in the Gulf Islands is unbelievable. But I think just in general, anywhere with dads having girls, there's something very special and sensitive to it. And you have that ability to support them in those decisions. And ideally, I'm the girl's superhero forever. I am right now in that sweet spot of like, you know, it's everything. But I can see at drop off now, the daughters like who aren't holding their dad's hands and the dad's just being like, no. As the kids get older. So
you know what's amazing? I just want to take a side note. All the dads do the drop-offs now. Like, do you notice that?
I do it every day.
Well, my husband too. Yeah. Like it's all like a couple mums, but a lot of dads now. And I'm like, whoa, what has
because
it used to be
harder.
The other women are just like out there. Just like dumb. But there's not much. It's actually maybe it's just the city too. I have no idea. But please tell me if I'm wrong. People that are listening.
Very similar to where we are. I love it. Like I try to structure my days around that, really.
I think dads want to get as involved with their kids. And that's a change of our generation. Like, that's just the truth. I think they grew up with dads that were always working and men that wanted, and then it switched and they wanted to have more. It's all what it was. Like moms at one time were not working. And so women really felt like that would be great for them to have a voice. And to build something in their own lives. And men watch their fathers kind of come home and work and do that for a long time. And so they kind of said, you know what? I want to be a part of my family life. And it's just weird that generation has kind of changed.
For sure.
For some reason, it's working.
Yeah. You didn't used to see dads rocking the baby carriage with the babies. And
never. My husband was stuck on him.
Yeah. Well, you loved it, right? And I think, again, as men, we're so sensitive and we're so soft.
So sensitive.
And, you know, right? Like, but it's... I think my wife and I both have tried to build our careers around knowing like number one value in our family. Is our kids.
Of
and
course.
It's like, how can we have those moments? Yeah. And in today's world, I think you can structure it around that. It's finding the balance to do it. Even when you're running big businesses and
Do it.
You can still find the time. It's kind of like these, your non-negotiables. And I think every family needs to have those of like, what are those?
Yeah. And what, like days that you're taking off, time that you're, and I think this is the big tip for a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners like yourself, is just looking at your time that you're actually with your kids, like spending that time. Like I, one of my biggest tips to everybody is color code your calendar and see how much time you actually, like hours you're with them. Mm-hmm. So that, and then it kind of hits you, right? That you're mm-hmm. like, okay, but X amount of years of this left. How many more days do I have of this left?
Yeah.
I have to be really present in those moments because it's going to be gone.
Yeah, so fast. And that's, like I said, that's something I need to, I can always improve on. I think we all can always improve on in that time that you're with your kids. But the great thing about kids is like, you could have, there's so many of those mini moments that are just magical. Like they start the minute they
wake
start
up.
Yelling your name to come into the room when they're waking up. And it's just like, you're starting your day. Here we are just missing our kids now, right?
I know. My daughter this morning, side note, like decided to put on all of her clothes before going downstairs just so she could get changed downstairs. Yeah. I said, honey, you don't need to put your clothes on to go downstairs. No. I said, okay, I'm just going to let this happen. Yeah.
Like, we don't have time. We got to go. And then the panic.
20 minutes. Yeah. To get yourself
going.
We gotta
make lunches. All these things start happening.
I want to talk a little bit about creating your own luck. I mean, this is something that I think shows up over and over in your story. What are, like, where did that all come for you? And what's your belief on that?
Yeah, it kind of ties into the whole, like, trust in the gut mm-hmm. and putting yourself in those situations mm-hmm. and knowing that this is presenting itself for some reason mm-hmm. or Morgan has reached out for a reason mm-hmm. or, you know, like, why is this? And a lot of those things can sort of just get pushed to the background mm-hmm. and become secondary. And I'm just always like, I have to take action. That's where that hound dog kind of comes in and be like, there's something here. And mm-hmm. you build your luck, like by placing yourself in those sorts of moments versus just sort of sitting back and be like, it's going to come to me. I feel like you can continue to get luckier by mm-hmm. putting yourself in those and finding it. If you're just going to sit back and one day it's going to happen, this is it. Like, it's not. Maybe that's where the real luck is, that you do get that big win, but it's not as fun. I think it's kind of like, you got to chase it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You always, you know, just kind of following up with that, like staying in that game, even when it doesn't feel like it's over, you've always done that.
Yeah.
You're pretty incredible that way.
The game always continues. Yes.
Your game always continues.
Or there's a new game, right?
And I love that you do believe in luck. I think that's a pretty incredible thing. What would your younger version be surprised on you today? This is a rapid fire.
Ooh.
Okay. What would the younger version of you be surprised by today of yourself?
That maybe I've found myself in this type of position as more like, not corporate, but like more business driven. Mm-hmm. At that time of 16, I was probably, you know, chasing surfing.
Surfboards.
Long hair, hippie, kind of like, you know.
All the best ones were surfers. Those,
yes. Like that was the dream. So my dream then was probably completely different to what I'm doing now. So I think there could be a little bit of surprise, but hopefully the support and of where I'm going now.
What's the next evolution of you personally, professionally look like?
Personally, I would say just continuing to find ways to be a better dad, be a better partner, prioritizing my family even more, finding those moments like you just talked about being, mm-hmm. how can I be more present? I'd like to see myself in the next few years. That's like, that when that time is there, that's the only time I'm giving them. Like, there's no other distractions. I think I'm still kind of on the balance for that.
Hear it, guys. Hear it, entrepreneurs out there.
Professionally, I'd say like where I am at still with Blend, but like, is that an exit from the company from mm-hmm. us down the road? Because mm-hmm. we've just changed the game so much in prefab that we're attracting a lot of big companies. That could be kind of cool, but I think really just expansion into other markets, you know, globally, I think is a big goal for us as well.
That's amazing. And what's one philosophy you live by?
Think it, feel it, do it. Yeah, I'd say like from a manager perspective, I think that's kind of a big thing. Yeah, is something I live by. And again, now starting to like bring that into how my oldest daughter's navigating over situations or that she's trying to do her first somersault or conversations at school or like, you know, think it, feel it, do it. Like, and you know, I've seen it once in her when she kind of repeated a back to herself. And I think she did like a handstand or something, but she was like, think it, feel it.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. You did it.
You know what? My son just said, readers are for leaders. I was like, did you just say that?
Yeah. And you just start crying and you're so proud. And
I'm like, well, but you know, that's a really cool thing that you're bringing. And what I'm so excited about with Blend and yourself is I really don't think that you have like the sky is the limit for you, Jordy. I'm such a fan of yours. I've been for so many years. And I think you're just constant evolution of what you're doing, your creativity with it. There's nothing but like success along the way. So I'm just so thankful you got to come on Get On Top. Yeah, thank you for coming out for me. And I'm excited for all the next chapter.
Yes.
Thank you
so much.
Yay. That was so good. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Get On Top. Don't miss out on more incredible stories by rating, reviewing, and following our podcast on your platform of choice. Remember to tag us on social media at Get On Top Podcast. Until next time, keep climbing, keep striving, and always remember, the view is worth it from the top.
This podcast is produced and edited by Podfather Creative.